AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine, presents our daily coverage from On Location in Lakeland, Florida for Sun and Fun 2008. Brought to you by XMWX Weather and the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Seeing through the clouds is the coming technology, but it comes with a price. Grand Rapids' Todd Stehauer talks with Kitt Plains Mark Cook about the technological challenges implementing synthetic vision in an experimental class, EFAS.
We're at Sun and Fun 2008, day three, I think it is. We're with Todd Stehauer at Grand Rapids Technology Booth here. Grand Rapids has pulled something of a coup this year by introducing or announcing synthetic vision for a new Horizon EFAS that'll be putting on the market in June. And we're here to talk to Todd a little bit about the new EFAS and its technology.
We took our Horizon Series 1, which we've been producing for 4 years now, and we've had kind of a synthetic vision where we just put runways out in front of you so you could fly to them and see them. But we wanted to add synthetic vision. It's what everyone's going to. And the challenge of adding that was finding a processor that had enough power to draw it and to make it look realistic. And I wasn't really sure how we'd make it look where you could actually tell how close to a mountain you were. So the trick was to come up with an algorithm to display it that didn't take too long and enough processing power with a graphics processor and processor that didn't create so much heat. It took us a year to find the algorithms that we wanted that would work and the combination of a processor that wasn't going to generate too much heat.
Now, obviously, the terrain is very detailed. The demonstration that you have here at the show, I mean, it looks almost photorealistic. Where do you get the terrain data and what kind of processing does it require from you in terms of getting it to suit your unit?
Well, the data is called height field data. It's just elevation data that NASA collected. And there's different resolutions of it. Like in our previous product, we used 90 meter resolution, or no, 1,000 meter is previous, which is 30 arc second. And now we use in 3 arc second, which is 90 meters. And that, you don't need to really go finer than that. That creates for the US 1 gigabyte of data. And it's just a bunch of points that are elevation. Then we have to take that and make it into something that a graphics processor can use to display. And then you have to create a shading that makes it look realistic. And that was the big key. How do you make it look? Not just shade it where it's just kind of one color, but looks like a mountain. Well, we were able to figure that out, but I really wouldn't want to say how, because it's pretty much similar to how Honeywell and Garmin did it, because ours look pretty similar.
And really, this is an issue of processing power and the ability of the box to not only process the terrain, but keep up with all the Adahars data and all the other air data things so that the screen itself, as you're maneuvering, looks real fluid. Was that kind of integration a big challenge?
Yeah, well, it was always a concern. We had a minimum frame rate that we wanted, which was 15 frames per second. You can't really detect that. I mean, more is better, but that's pretty good for what we're doing. And we were able to do it. Once we found out in the end what I'd have, I was hoping, for that. Well, we're well above that with a processor that's not generating too much heat. So we have a lot of expansion for adding other features that really don't take much compared to the graphics that the synthetic vision takes. But it definitely is smooth.
Now, I guess it's like computers everywhere, there's new technologies come out, new processors come out, things expand. This seems to me like an opportunity. You saw a new processor, you saw some new technologies that have enabled this. Is it true that, some of the ideas you've had have been simply waiting around for the hardware to make it work?
Yep, correct. The first thing we were waiting around was a high enough resolution screen that was sunlight readable. And that came up about a year and a half ago, new technology came out, and there's more new technology so we can go to a larger screen with that same sunlight readability. It's a small niche market, so it comes out slower than the other stuff. But the processing power that I've been waiting for, and it's not just a processor. Those sometimes are out there, but some manufacturer has to put one together for my market, which is a small market. But they have come out, and there's actually more coming out that even do a little better than what I've got with less power. But they're a couple years away.
So it's kind of a technological march, et cetera.
More from Mark Cook and Todd Stehauer with Grand Rapids Technology in just a moment. Presented by Bose Aviation Headset 10. Voted number one for the 7th consecutive year in Professional Pilots 2007 Headset Preference Survey. Enjoy full spectrum noise reduction, clearer audio, and comfortable around-the-ear fit. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Also brought to you by XMWX.
XMWX satellite weather has quickly become the leading way to fly for pilots across the country. With flexible display solutions from aviation's biggest names, Datalink Weather from XMWX has been embraced by pilots and the industry alike. It's simply the best way to soar with confidence, in flight and every flight.
Now back to Sun and Fun and more on this experimental class EFIS from Grand Rapids Technology.
Tell me how this product fits into your general product line and what its overall capabilities are.
Well, we have basically three levels of our product. We have what we call a Sport, which is primarily geared towards VFR, but it actually can set up for IFR. It just has less serial ports, a few less features. But it doesn't have synthetic vision. We can't really add it to that. The process costs too much. Then we have our higher-end unit, which is called the Horizon, which is designed from day one to be for IFR. So it's designed as a multifunction display with separate AHARs, in kind of like the configuration of Chelton. And then with that one, we have like more serial ports and interfaces for nav radios. Well, the HX is the same as that one, same family, where separate AHARs, but it has more serial ports. As I added all this processing power, I was able to increase the serial ports and add Ethernet for its link to the other displays, so it frees up more serial ports. And then we're also to put Airing 429 inside it, so it just has a lot more interface for our customers that want. When you go to three displays and dual AHARs, which is a new feature of ours, where all of our two or more screens come standard with dual AHARs, which gives you more redundancy. And the HX is able to handle that and have all the serial ports for the new traffic and CO Guardian, the oxygen levels are all serial, so we can just don't run out of serial ports with HX.
So the system obviously is expandable in the sense that you can bring in traffic and weather and things like that. What are some of those outside systems that you can display on the EFIS?
Well, one of the real popular ones is the XM Weather, because it overlays right on our map. That's highly popular. Of course, we interface with the Garmin 430. That seems to be the main GPS nav radio. MODES traffic we interface with. ZAN's new traffic monitor we interface with. CO Guardian, of course, I mentioned, are some of the main things.
And so, really, it's a very flexible system. And, of course, you have your own engine monitoring package that will feed into that as well. Give us a very brief overview of kind of the cost points of the various EFISs you're producing now.
Okay, a Sport, just for the screen, it has the built-in AHARs, starts at $2,800. If you want to add engine, a four-cylinder Lycoming with all the options, fuel flow and everything, is another $1,200. A second screen, so you have a two-screen system, is another $1,800. So, you know, really around $5,600 or something, you've got a complete package, two screens. And with ours, we have mapping, so you don't really have to have a Garmin 496. The intention is make our map just as good as a 496 so they can have two screens. And then you have some flexibility there. The Horizon series starts at $5,000 for one screen versus the $2,800. The engine package is a little more money, $1,400 for a four-cylinder. And a second screen of a Horizon, which is we call the HS, which is not the synthetic vision, is another $2,000. So the HX adds $2,000. Per screen. So you get the higher processing power and you get the synthetic vision, the more serial ports, and Airing Core comes in there because that's an option on our other units. So price-wise isn't as bad because you hook up XM Weather, you need a processing box for our lower end because they don't have enough processing power. Well, our new one plugs in USB, so if you already have one, you get it free. You just plug it in.
So if you have the Garmin antenna, for example, that will feed right in?
Well, we really wish we could use that Garmin antenna because we like it, but that is proprietary to them.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate your time, Todd. And the downside of doing radio is you can't see this display, which is really, like I said, photorealistic and stunning. And it's nice to see this kind of technology, which is these features, which are definitely lifesavers for certain missions, make it down into this end of the market. This is Mark Cook at Sun and Fun 2008, reporting for Kit Planes.
Our daily audio coverage from Sun and Fun 2008 is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10 and by XMWX Weather. For more in-depth coverage of Sun and Fun and breaking general aviation news, log on to www.avweb.com. For AvWeb Audio, Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.